I'm an alcoholic, and my name is Brenda. Thank you, Larry, for asking me to speak. I want to thank my higher power for letting me be somebody now who anybody wants to hear speak. Hasn't been that way for that long. They said in the text that I got to share a little bit about how it was and how it is now. And since I'm only speaking for 10 minutes, I'm not going to get that much into my past. Just to qualify myself, I can say that alcohol was a part of my life before I was even born. I don't remember much about the first 9 years of my life because I was abused by an alcoholic. And, you know, you would have thought that would have done it for me, you know, staying away from alcohol. But that wasn't the case. When I was a teenager, I took my first drink. I think I was 15 years old. And by the time I was 16, I could probably sit down and drink a case without throwing up. I didn't like the hard alcohol that much, but I mean, I could put the beer away, you know. I started blacking out when I was 16 years old. People would tell me things, and I would have no clue what they were talking about. That was my life, you know. Once I found that release, I didn't have to feel the pain anymore. I didn't completely escape it, you know. My teenage years were very difficult, not only for me but for my family. As a child, I was a straight A student. You know, I respected my parents. I had good parents, but it was always like that. I had two sides to me, you know, the one that excelled and did really well, and then the one inside, you know, the one from, you know, I think, and it stemmed a lot from the abuse, who carried around a lot of shame and a lot of pain, you know. And I tried to kill myself several times, I remember. And I think most of the times I did that, I was drinking. I just, you know, I couldn't take it anymore. I remember slitting my wrists as a teenager and someone telling me, "You did it wrong. It's supposed to be this way." So the next time, I've got the scars to go up now, you know. And, you know, they didn't have a lot back then for us, but they had Alcoholics Anonymous back then. I think my first meeting, I was 15 years old. My parents took me to. And, you know, when I see young people in the meetings nowadays, I get so excited. You know, they have a lot more for them now, I think. I mean, back then, I was a 15-year-old amongst a bunch of older people talking about drinking, and I would be thinking, you know, I didn't think about it today, but now I really want to go drink, you know? And I would leave, and I would go get drunk, you know? I did good for a while. I moved out, you know, when I was 16. My parents had had enough, and I moved out. And, you know, I finally moved back in and graduated on time. And I managed to put it back together again, you know. And I exceeded for a while, and I was this perfect person. And, you know, I had this great job, and I was a satellite technician. And I was the only girl amongst a whole bunch of guys. And, you know, they gave me a shop, you know, part-time, temporary, in the evening. And within a couple of years, I was the boss of all of those guys. And, you know, I would go to meetings. I knew the vice president of HBO. And, you know, he emailed me all the time and was friends with me. And, you know, there was that life. And then again, the other one. And it started, you know, picking back up again. And, you know, I was drinking and partying. And, you know, I couldn't take it anymore. And I let go again. And it got worse. It got a lot worse. You know, I started doing other things, and I let go of my job, and I just, you know, I ended up on the streets. I know what it's like to be cold and have nowhere to go. I know what it's like to be hungry. You know, that was my main thing was, you know, drinking and doing other things, and, you know, I didn't care about myself, not one bit. And You know, I kept coming in and out of these rooms, and every time I heard people saying things, it would stick a little bit, you know. I didn't have a head full of recovery or clean time or sobriety, but I would hear things, and I'm smart enough to know that you guys probably know what you're talking about. You know, if a doctor is telling me, you know, you got cancer, I'm going to believe him, you know. And if an alcoholic's telling me things like it's going to get worse next time, it gets worse, progressively worse. That's what I kept hearing. I'm going to believe you, you know. And it did. It got worse every single time. And I would go home sometimes, and, you know, I knew what the deal was, is I had to go to detox, and I had to get in recovery, and I had to change my life if I wanted to go home. And believe me, you know, it would come to the very screeching end of the road before I would do that, you know. I'd have people picking me up, you know, downtown or somewhere, you know, and I would be like, you know, taking my paraphernalia out of my pockets and just, you know, I give up, and so many times. Then I got pregnant, and you know, it's funny because I know the last time I used, it was the last time. But I didn't really think about drinking that much, you know. I kept thinking, I associated finally with being a drug addict. You know, I could admit to that because it was a lot more obvious and illegal. You know, I'm in jail for it time and time and time again, and okay, you know. And it's funny how the same people who really, really, really want you to be clean don't have any problem going, you want a glass of wine, you know. My parents, you know, my parents, every time my clean date comes up and I have like 4 years or five, you know, it's coming up to five. They're like, no, you've got like 8 or 9, don't you, by now? You know, and I'm like, drinking counts. You know, it's how I got here. It's how it started. And it's how it ended, you know. You know, people would be like, I remember my bosses, like I was into, you know, my recovery, and they would be like, oh, you're 2 years. And they would give me something for it. And they'd be like, you know, let's go drinking. Mark's playing in a band. And I'd be like, okay, you know. I stayed into recovery for a while, and I did things like I was a service, I held positions, I spoke, I went to meetings, you know, and then I went and I drank, and I didn't work my steps, you know, and finally I had to come to the realization that I had to stop and change, and I had to stop drinking too, and it counted, you know, and it's just been there all along, you know. It goes hand in hand with the shame, you know, and the hurt that always I never could share, you know. I never could be open about that. You know, I'm a very open person. And I will tell you the facts and everything, and I will share about everything, but I just can't share, you know, certain things of just about myself because I hate myself. You know, I hate myself. That's the way I was. I didn't care, and I was ugly and fat and a piece of shit, and nobody wanted, you know, to talk to me. Who would want to know me, you know, and so it was for a long time, and I started working the steps, you know. I finally let go of everything, let go of not just the drugs, but the alcohol, and I let go of my pride, and I finally, you know, started taking the steps. And, you know, the steps for me, if there's an analogy for it, I don't know if any of you guys have seen The Shining, but at the end, there's like the psychotic dad with the axe and the kids running through the maze, you know, and eventually he has to stop, you know. He knows he's not going to get anywhere. He stops, you know, and that's, for me, that's like the first three is the stopping, you know. And then he has to back up, and he has to go back into his same footsteps because he knows if he doesn't, you know, the dad will see. And that's, you know, that's 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. You know, I'm going back. I'm going back over my life, and I'm looking at what happened, and I'm making my lists, and, you know, I'm making my amends. Step 5 was really hard for me, you know. I told my sponsor, I'm not going to tell you everything, you know. I know it says, but I'm just not. I'm not willing to do that. I'm not willing to write it all down. I'm not going to. I'm just not. She went, okay. She's so nice to my sponsor. All right. That's fine. So I'm going through it, and then, you know, I'm writing that. I'm like, okay, maybe I'll tell you some of the things that I wasn't going to tell you before, but I'm not writing them down for sure. That's not going to happen, and I'm not telling you all the other, you know, I'm just not. Okay. She'd say, okay. She smiles at me. She talks so quiet and soft, you know. And so it gets down to the end, you know, and we're in the car and I'm chilling. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna tell you. But I didn't write it. I hope it's okay. And I told her, you know, my deepest, darkest secrets. And I looked up and, you know, I couldn't look up. And she was crying. And I'm like, oh my God, it's so bad. She's crying, you know? And she goes, I'm so honored. I'm just so honored that you did that. And just, you know, and she was just so happy that I gave it up finally, you know. And I'm going to tell you, you know, if you're new here and you think that you, you know, I used to watch people speaking from out there and I'd be like, yeah, that's you. You know, because this, this, and this. That's why you're there. That's why you're all shiny and you've got this great job and this great life. Because of this, this, and this. And you know what? Each one of us has a specific path. I believe that I got here very specifically. You know, I am stubborn like the day is long. And I had to stop hating myself. You know, my sponsor, like I'm right now, I'm on step six. I love step six. I can go on and on forever. I did that. I'm this. I'm that. I'm this. I'm that. You know, it's like a never-ending step. And my sponsor just keeps telling me, it's like, can you put the hammer down maybe? You know, she just says it so soft and nice. Can you put the hammer down maybe? You know, and I'm just like, because I'm like this and that, you know, and you know, I drove away from her house many times thinking, what an idiot I am. She probably thinks I'm the biggest retard ever. She'd tell me, keep coming back. Everybody keeps telling me, keep coming back. You know, and when I was drinking and I was out there, you know, I was of no use to not only myself but anybody else. You know, if you're new here, if you're scared, if you don't feel like you fit in yet, I can assure you that you probably do. Get a commitment. You know, I took on commitments and. You know, people, then they really liked me. I made really good coffee. I made it, you know, my thing. And, you know, I still beat myself up a lot. I still have a lot of feelings inside of shame and, you know, but not as much, not half as much, you know. And I'm just so grateful for this program, for giving me something I could never give myself, something my family could never give me, you know. You guys gave me a life, and you guys let me be able to pick my head up and cut my long hair off and be able to look you in the eye, and, you know, I just, my life is amazing now. I turned 40 yesterday. And I worked 12 hours. I work 12 hours, and here I am speaking. This is my birthday weekend, you know, but I'm employable today, you know. That's the thing. My bosses gave me a skydiving ticket, you know, here's for my birthday. I'm like, do you hate me or do you like me, you know? No, but I want to go. You know what? All the things that I could never do in my life, you know, you guys are giving me the freedom to do. I'm a good mother. I'm a good wife. I'm a good friend now, and I think, is that my time or... I just want to thank you guys so much for being a part of my life and my heart, and thank you for letting me share.